Smirden.
Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Yeah, give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Okay. Well, this afternoon, this is the session, as Ange said, that if you yeah, praise God, it means you are hungry. Okay, on the outset, I want to first of all honor Pastor Tim and Angela and the leadership and all those who put their hand to the plow, travailing long hours before this day for this opportunity to stand at this pulpit and be entrusted with all that God has for us today. I honor my husband who's watching online and just sent me a text. And our leadership back home for releasing me. And most of all, I honor the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. Hallelujah. So in back home, we say you give him a round of applause. You put your hands above your head and you honor him. He's our covering. He's all in all. And without him, we wouldn't be here today. So with all that out the way, this morning I want to get straight into it. Allow me to prophetically preach this morning as I'm directed by the Lord. So, Father, we clear the atmosphere, the airwaves, the social media platforms of every distraction, discomfort, and strategy the enemy has planned against the freedom of each one of us sitting in this auditorium and online. We receive the blueprint this morning of seeing clearly as God sees us and unlock the unknown pathway before us. And we step into it with resilience and fortitude so that we stay where we're supposed to be, complete, receiving the mandate of winning souls and making disciples for the kingdom of God. We choose this morning to be the light to the world so that we know that we follow hard after you. So without further ado, I want to just give the title of my message this morning. And it's, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. The past two evenings was the clutter. Ange had the hardest task of clearing the atmosphere, digging the deep soil with the rocks and everything on it. Last night we saw the declaration, a personal declaration of confession and repentance coming before God. And so we're not in this auditorium today with any baggage because we can see clearly now. And so we stand on that platform and we take the rest of it and we seal the session. We seal the conference knowing that God has given us a mandate. So Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are the most important person in this room. You are the most important person in this room. You know us by name. You know our sitting down. You know our going out. Today you know what it took us to get here. We need you to take us forward so we stay shining like a diamond. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for every priceless cheek. Fragile, yet so valuable. Who's present today? So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Well, I, even getting here, thank you again to Ange and the and Tim and the leadership. It was a last minute thing, but I knew God was in it because everything just cleared for me to be here. At that stage, I didn't know what was it. I was just coming to the conference and being an intercessor, prophetic intercessor, I knew that if that's only my role, then so be it. Jubilee's close to my heart. This church is a sister church to us. We family. And so I'm going to read the scripture that that was on your Instagram and all your social media from the Passion Version. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, which was the basis and the foundation of this conference. We don't yet see things clearly. We are squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. Well, on the way here to Pensacola, it was a long flight, But while on the flight, the Lord downloaded in my spirit, and that's why I'm asking you to help me teach, preach this morning. And what I love about God, He knew what was before and He knows what's coming after. And so if you see the systematic approach of this whole conference in terms of what has been delivered into the atmosphere, into our hearts, into our spirits, it's amazing to end with the title like this. So God definitely downloaded this on the plane. And He told me to use the acronym BRIGHT to give you a blueprint to leave this conference with that will enable you not to come up for an altar call for the very same things you came up for this weekend, but to leave here with a lifestyle of staying in the light and shining bright. It's not about the experience of the conference. We're not conference junkies. It's not about the religious ticking of the box of another event, but it's about seeing it all. It's about seeing it in part. It's about seeing the reflection of who we were to who we are. It's about who I am. It's about who you are and who I'm called to be. And knowing that because of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be, not do, be who we're supposed to be. So I'm going to start with the acronym and allow me the freedom this afternoon. So the B is this. Brokenness leads to birthing of something new. Sometimes the enemy keeps us in this thick fog for too long. He brings confusion with no clarity. He makes us think it's us. We heard the panel. We heard all that went on before. He makes us think it's us. Yet it's not. It's something that we have to go through. He keeps us wallowing in our past brokenness, into the dictates of systems of the fallen world, so that we never see or receive the love of God like we should. He keeps our brokenness attached to a figure of a man or a figure of something else that defiled us, that fragmented us, that kept us bound, the soul tie that kept us bound, emotional stays, emotional stained things of things tied to us for the abuse for the rest of our lives. But this morning, if we stay there, we will never receive the conception of the purity of God's love that comes from Father God, which then enables us to conceive in the Spirit so we can live a productive life of producing after our own kind. It's the Spirit that produces after the Spirit. It's the Spirit that produces fruit. So He tries to keep us in the contaminated zone of producing the fruit of contamination. And we stay in that and saying, oh, I was born like this. Oh, I was born from this. And so the contamination never leaves. And then we wonder why we don't see the fruit of it. Today we're going to surrender to the Father everything. Say everything. So that the weather clears over us. We see the sunshine bright like a diamond. We see how fragile we are, yet we are so valuable. Like He knows us to be rather than do. We are made in His image before we can do anything. And I repent on behalf of the Church of God, because so many times we've made you function by doing and never giving you time to rest to be. And so we reverse that this morning and we say we're going to be who we're supposed to be. It's amazing in the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, just before I even got on the plane, the Lord just told me to muse on the chapter of love. And we use this, and many people think it's just a chapter that Paul wrote. You know, Paul is a funny guy, but Paul's a guy that's so deep. And when we read that, we use him for weddings. And we use it all the things, like the greatest love chapter, be kind. But no, Paul wrote that because they needed to hear that. They were not living in it. So the paradox of that chapter is that Paul declares love as the greatest power in any community that seems to be lacking. They were lacking it. That's why Paul taught it. And just maybe, many of us are lacking the understanding of the true love of the Father because we choose to stay in that emotional suppression, oppression, and bondage that contaminates us so bad that even we just say the Father's love, but we don't experience the Father's love. In our broken state, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't sense, we can't smell how clearly the fog has disappeared because the Father's love is so unconditional. We get desensitized to the love triangle that is offered to you and I, that God identifies us with. And he says it's going to get brighter. It's going to get brighter. It's going to get brighter. So don't lose faith this morning. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Darkness covers, but the Lord rises upon you. Old patterns will change when we are healed of our brokenness. We cannot be bright living in old patterns. We ought to move from glory to glory. Old patterns hoard. Old patterns stay. Old patterns keep us within the damn walls that we have built up. Old patterns keep us within those strongholds that we think is a protective mechanism, yet it's not a protective mechanism. It's the walls need to come down so that the old patterns are released, hallelujah, so that the river of God can flow. We're not meant to be a dam. We're meant to be a river. So let's become that river this morning. Let's come that river so that we receive the living water. It flows in and through and out of us. They build dams, not rivers. They develop a stench. That's not refreshing of the purity of God. It begins to stink around us. You know, one of the things you do when you do deliverance ministry, many times you'll identify the demon by the smell. And that's how you know you're stuck in a stronghold, or there's a stronghold over you because of the stench. Now, when we choose to stay in our brokenness, eventually we begin to stink. So the refreshing of God comes through the river of God. And obedience is key to breaking down those walls, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrificing your time to come here is easy. The obedience to step into it from today onwards and work it out is the difficult part. When no one's looking, when no one can see, it's the fact that I'm not going to go back to what I left at this altar. I'm going to, in obedience, step into the next thing. Cast your net on the other side today. And immediately, that's what I'd like to do at home. No second thought, no Vodacom call, no cousin call, no brother call, no culture call, no call. Immediately. Do it. Obedience breaks all forms of darkness. All walls come tumbling down. It brings the refreshing into a new life, into the unknown, into the destiny that you're meant to be, into the promises. Without the promise, there's no provision. Without provision, there's no promise. The prophetic picture I got on my way here for this part of the acronym is that I saw two rivers flowing. The one was contaminated larger than the one that was pure. And on the other side was the pure river. And as it got to the intersection of almost a crossover, the river that was pure began to overpower the contaminated river. And the Lord said to me, today the divine exchange has taken place. It's up to you if you want to stay stuck in that contamination, but the purification of my love, of everything that you've been through, everything that was not seen, everything that you thought was supposed to happen to you was not supposed to happen to you. It's not me, says God. I'm bringing a spirit of purity over you this afternoon, and I believe that as we begin to move forward, that contamination that was wanting to kill, steal, and destroy and decay us from moving forward is over. Ezekiel 47 verse 9 says this, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish. Take note of the words, it's abundance. Because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. So no more running to the altar for the same thing you left here. In Jesus' name. No more running for the same thing to surrender. Today the blueprint has been given to you. It's an impartation message. It's a teaching message. It's a corporate message of impartation. Not only to you, but also to me. It's an impartation of the brightness in your life. It's an impartation, no going back, but moving forward. It's an impartation that the Lord is about to break every wall. He's releasing to you the power of the Holy Spirit to be your best friend. Step into it. Begin to give birth to new things. Begin to conceive. Begin to spend time with God so that that brokenness is over and birth what God wants. The R, restoration. Restoration in the Bible is always synonymous with healing, repairing, returning better than it was before. Our previous state of being is no more. I may look the same, but inside, I'm not the same. No more. So when it lurks and comes back and it causes the problem with our minds and tells us what we thought we were all our lives, no more. Because restoration is better than it was before. It's stuff that you never thought of yourself of before. It's no more insecurities. It's no more instability. It's no more procrastination. It's no more poverty. It's no more all these things that get attached to us. It's a new beginning and it's a refreshing of something new, better than it was before. Psalms 51 verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So just maybe we're not sustained because we're not willing. We're not sustained because we're not willing to give it up. You know, sometimes back home, there's certain people that are sick all the time. They get healed, they testify they healed, and then they're sick again. Because they get love that way. If they don't seek, they don't get attention. Change your story. Change your storyline. More things will happen around you. Maybe we're not willing to give it up. Maybe we're not willing to give the vocabulary up. Maybe we're not willing to give up that lie that we told everybody else about, and now we're going to live that lie. It's a new beginning. For too long, we thought our gifts sustained us by doing in the kingdom of God. That's why we like position. And if someone else comes to take over that position, we're supposed to move from glory to glory. In our back home, we're teaching the culture. You work yourself out of a job. That's glory to glory. You don't hold your position, and when someone else comes along, you don't want to teach them or impart to them. How do we develop? How do we make disciples? You work yourself out of, into. It's about the doing. We've been defined by the doing. We've been defined by what man sees, by what we're producing. That's why it's so little. That's why it can't sustain us. COVID came in the church of God. Some doors even closed. Christians that were long, 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 long in the faith, they've fallen by the wayside. Why? They were defined by religious acts of doing. Corinthians 13, Paul sets the scenario. He sets the scenario of how we need to function in our spiritual gifts. Let's not be a one-winged bird. That's my husband's slogan. Don't be a one-winged bird. Your bird has two wings. You have your spiritual gifts, but you also need to be filled with the love of God so that practicality, you flow, you be the being and the doing, the being and the doing, the being and the doing. We're so used to performance that we've become actors in the house of God. Part of us to survive, which keeps us broken. That's why we never see the fruit of restoration. That's why we're scared to use the word restoration, because we are defined by pretense. To survive any muddy water, trial or circumstance, Paul is presenting the gift of love. Firstly, the love for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added unto you. So the love triangle is seek God's love and then love one another. Hey, even in a marriage, sometimes I got to choose to love. Sometimes I got to choose to submit. Sometimes my husband has to choose to love me. Us women are difficult to love. So our husbands love us as unto Christ, and we submit as unto Christ. Because if we take our eyes off that love, we'll never be able to do it. Covenant is a difficult thing, and the devil hates covenant. That's why the minute you give your heart to the Lord, things go crazy. Why? You've made a covenant. He hates covenant. So let's stop the X. Paul is presenting to us this gift, the gift of love, a love relationship that keeps us restored, sustained. It takes away all decay. It does things I can't even comprehend. It downloads things that I don't even know. It unfolds things in my life that I'm not even worthy of even receiving. It does things for me on behalf of me, for me, for the sake of the kingdom. But as I become a channel of God, the love of God permeates through me, and the things I once was, I no longer am. Do we see me for me? Do we see you for you? Do we see what we can gain or receive or manipulate? When I was at college, my lecturer, he coined the word facipulation. Christians are good at facilitating manipulation. We facilitate manipulation. We facilitate what we want, not what God wants. And we stand right here at this place facilitating. It's called Christianese. Religious people live in the zone. That's why we are mentally drained. We don't have sustaining power. We don't have fortitude. We don't have resilience. Our children are drained. COVID killed them, yet we drain them more. They see us, they don't want what we have because we make it look so hard. God wants us to restore all our actions today. He's acted out. Our brokenness is over. He's broken down the walls, the fake walls, the false expectations, the assumptions, the perceptions, and everything else. And he's waiting. He's waiting. Hallelujah. Not just for us to sit at the pool and waiting for the pool to be stirred. The pool has been stirred. He wants us to pick up our bed, get up, rise again, and walk, says God. Restoration is no longer the old manner. Restoration is new. It's better than it was before. Zechariah 9 verse 12 says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Who wants it? I want it. Who wants it? I want it. You know, mothers, maternal instinct in our wombs get us into trouble. A lot of things get plugged into us and we think those plugs, yet some currents that come into us are not meant for us. If I use a South African electrical currency and I come to America, I'll blow everything up. Some of us have been blown up so much, our womb, our walls around our womb have been shattered. God is unplugging that today so that the new, you carry what you're supposed to. Release that delinquent child. Please don't bless me with that delinquent child that you like to look after. I don't want it. Don't call me to the bedside and say, oh, please look after this one because you looked after his problem all the years. Don't do that. That's what we do, isn't it? And today God is saying it's better than it was before. I'm making it better. You see, that's the thing about the kingdom of God. Everything is supposed to be better. It's us who make it look like it's not better. We need the light to shine. We need illumination because that's what works for us. We need our biblical ethics and our biblical value system to return. And the more we keep silent, the more it won't return. We can pray all we want to. We can swing on the chandeliers in this building. But if we go out there and we don't carry the love and the mantle of the spirit of resurrection, you see, we carry a spirit even though we look the same. So whatever spirit I carry, I multiply wherever I go and I attract that same spirit towards me because spirits connect. We need the light to shine. Our biblical ethics, our value system needs to be restored, illuminated, hallelujah, so that the revelation of God and the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit can begin to bring lightness in the places of darkness and restoration and abundant living can become possible. Psalm 71 verse 20 says, though you have made me see troubles, my God, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. Let's pause there. What troubles, bitterness. COVID came and separated us, shut down things, systems that were imposed upon us. Bitter. We don't even know how to engage anymore. But the Bible says, you will restore my life again. Restore us, Lord. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. It's an upward spiral, not a downward spiral. So the one of the things practically you can understand is that the minute you start going downward from where you come from, quickly get up. The righteous man falls 7 times, but you get up. It doesn't say you're not going to fall. The minute you go, Don't let your head reach the ground. You know, I have a friend back home. If we've come through a very tough time back home with lots of things. The church was shut down. Financial pressures of the situation in South Africa. We had unrest. We had unrest in our city. Our main warehouses like Walmart that were burnt down. It was one thing after the next, after the next. People, businesses were closed. People in our church, business people in our church had no income. All their savings reserves were depleted. But there's one thing, a few of us, we got together. We'd say, we phone in the morning, is the curtain open? You're allowed to sleep with the curtain closed for one day. When I phone you the next day, open the curtain. Accountability, relationship, a love relationship. That's how we help each other to love again. But the Bible says here in Psalm 71, I will restore my life again. He will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Jubilee, you will come up. Priceless chicks, you're coming up. Hallelujah. You got to believe it, to know it, to live it, to breathe it, so that others can see it. The eye. Intuition. Am I saying that right? It means the ability to understand something immediately. Without the need for conscious reasoning. Intuition is a gift from God. And when we learn how to develop and strengthen it, it can help us steer clear of disastrous decisions and relationships. We interpret from God's position, not from our position. I'm going to say that again. We interpret from God's position, not from our position. Our position is influenced from our worldviews, from our culture, from expectations, from perceptions, and all these things. His position is from what he already ordained and is already set in place. Long before we were even formed in our mother's wombs. For a Christian, this intuition can greatly be enhanced by the Holy Spirit. That's why, who's your best friend? Make him your best friend. Make him your best friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He is the fountain of wisdom. He's the fountain of wisdom and understanding. Those who walk in the Spirit have the privilege of God's own perspective on many, in fact, not all of life's decisions as he guides us through his word. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We need to have that. We have to fine-tune this ability to hear God, spending time in his word, in worship, and in meditation. You heard the panel. These things we can't. We wish you could make it easier, but there's no other way. The formula has been given to us. A.W. Tozer, in his classic work, The Pursuit of God, he writes this. Why do some persons find God in a way that others do not? The one vital quality that they all had in common was spiritual receptivity. Something in them was open to heaven, something which urged them Godward. This spiritual receptivity is the quality that can influence intuition to such an extent that we can walk blamelessly before God. Yeah, the Bible is so deep. We make excuses. We have sustaining power. It's the choices that make us don't believe it. And Philippians 2 verse 15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. David sat before the Lord, enjoying his presence, and quit and quietening his spirit in 2 Samuel 7 verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I? Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me thus far? Who are you, Lord, that you are mindful of man? But here we're saying, who am I, Lord, that you choose it fit for us to even be here today and allow your presence to be here with us? Our spirits need to be quiet. So that quiet enough that our minds need to meditate on the word of God. As we seek God's guidance and pray for direction, he says that we need to trust that he will give us the wisdom. In James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Heeding on this God-given intuition, we move forward in a way that seems the wisest thing to do. Trust in the Lord that he will direct our steps. Like Psalm 37 verse 20 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Delights in him. Delights in him. There's no other way. It's, you see, many don't want to pay the price, but they want the benefits. And the only way God trusts you with the pearls of heaven, if you delight in him. If you're not getting fresh manna, then maybe we need to check. Are you delighting in him? Another reason why intuition is rooted in God's word is that it helps us to surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit, not what we want. And it aligns us with the wisdom of God. Why? Because it can protect us from errors and help keep our feet on a straight path. We don't move until he says move. We don't say until he says say. We carry until full term. We don't abort the babies. We finish the task. We carry it to full term until such time. You can't do that if you don't are not connected to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 4 verse 26 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Some of us like to go back to the old things. We like to go back. We say, oh no, I was once like this. I can go back to the clubs. I can go back to the bars and I can minister because that's where I come from. It's not yet time. Are you going it because you have an appetite? Or are you going it because the Holy Spirit sent you? You know, my great-grandmother, bless her heart, she was my mentor from the time I was 8 years old. I had a date with my great-granny every Wednesday, every Wednesday. She used to peel garlic by the tree called Yesterday, Today, and Forever. Peel garlic, imagine, I had to sit on a little tin. While she's peeling her garlic, I used to stink sometimes of garlic. Maybe that's why I can't take tablets now, I'm just stinking. No, I'm joking. Okay, and she used to give me a proverb every day. I never used to understand. And the one thing she told me for every Wednesday I saw her is that you're different, my baby. And I couldn't understand what she's saying. Now, if you see the rest of my lineage, some of us are fair, some of us are a bit on the darker side, some of us are, in you know, who knows biryani? It's curry mixed with rice and dal and everything else. So that's the pot we come from. So all the grand, I'm the eldest great-grandchild. And I need to throw this in. She's a woman of prayer, and this was her prayer, and it has come to pass, that the first of every generation will serve the Lord. And you know what? The first of every generation is serving the Lord. And she used to have a shack at the back of her yard, and she used to say, and those were where all the folly ones used to run to. So they come drunk, they come, because half, some of them are serving the Lord, some of them. She would never let them go into her house. She'd say, to the back, go. And she'd tell me, Nolene, if they're 40 and they're still doing the same thing, even Jesus is going to have a hard time. So principles of that, why am I sharing that with you? Because she was a woman that was steadfast. She taught me you don't go where you're not supposed to go. She sat under that tree. Symbolism is my big thing. Yesterday, today, and forever. She used to sit and say, you see this tree? I've actually got two of them. You see the aroma. She said, that's who Jesus is. Yesterday, today, and forever. He stays the same. You don't move. There's certain principles we need to hold on to so that we stay steadfast. A revelatory perception is birthed into the realm of the unknown towards a preferable picture of the future. Do you have a preferable picture of the future? Has God downloaded to you the preferable picture of your future? If you don't have that picture, how are you going to step into the future? So we start today and say, Lord, give me that preferable picture of the future that you have for me. What does it look like? Where do I go? How do I step into it? Without the picture, how do we move forward and shine brighter and brighter and brighter? We need the picture so that we can put the lamppost up so that it can shine for everyone to see the picture. Brighter, better future is aligned to one's purpose and destiny. 2 Peter 1:10 to 11 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's the first and only time the Bible uses the word never. Why? Because there's a condition to it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make my calling and election sure. I got to do it. I got to go before God. He's got to give me the blueprint. He's got to give me that preferable picture. He's got to download it into me so that I will never fall. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Inquire of the Lord and receive your spiritual identity today. That was the... what was it? That was the I. Let's go to the G. Last night we heard the G is God. Many of us know the goodness of God, but the G in this acronym is that the goodness is not enough. We need to start seeing the greatness of God. Many of us know His goodness because of the shopping basket. Many of us know His goodness because He paid the light bill. Many of us know His goodness because of what He did for us. We don't see His greatness because His greatness is locked into the nature of God. And the nature of God is the attributes of God, which makes me become an heir of the kingdom of God and the inheritance to that heir. Hallelujah. Because I'm an heir, I have access to the inheritance. But because I don't honor and respect and value and live and abide in the greatness of God, in His nature imputed into me, hallelujah, I will always live only on the goodness of God. God's goodness is all around us. We see it. The fact that you're sitting here is God's goodness. Give Him a round of applause. Psalms 23 verse 6 says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please don't go dwell nowhere else. It was mentioned this weekend. You stand, you sent here for a reason. There's a setting, there's an anointing, there's an importation, there's a covering, there's a settlement, there's an establishment, there's an authority, there's a grace that comes when you settled in a house. You know, there's a difference between renting and owning. Listen, we back home, we own a house, well, almost all our lives. But in the last 3 years, we were renting, trying to spy out the land where we want to move into in the latter years of our life. So we moved into an estate and then we moved into a complex, that's what we call it back home. And my husband said to me, one day he said to me, bless your heart, babes, I know you're watching. He says, hey, maybe we're just experiencing the life of a gypsy. Do you know that I felt the emotions of that? I was never settled in those houses. I had no energy to paint it. I had no energy to put up the photos. I had no energy to... And now, just before I came here, we moved into our own house. Do you know the first night we slept in that home, we slept like a baby. Because there's something about ownership. Now, you will never settle if you don't own your salvation. Whether you're a PK, whether you're an MK, whether you're a what K, it doesn't mean because I'm a minister of the gospel because that my child or my children are going to do the same thing I'm doing. My son's calling to the sports field. My daughter has a different calling. Hallelujah. Not all of them are pulpiteers. That's the mistake we make. Then you judge the pastor's family because the children are not doing what do they? And who said? They have a different mandate. Why am I saying that? Because many of us recognize the goodness of God in our worldview. We put a tag to it. We put it like how God should do. No, we will only know the true goodness and the value of God's greatness if we take on the nature of God. And if we take on the nature of God, hallelujah, we will abide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Hallelujah. The perception of man, the pleasing of man, the dictates of man, the dictates of systems, we will no longer be controlled by those things. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're kingdom citizens living on earth. So if you come to church and you don't tithe, shame on you. And now I take the shame off you. Start tithing. If you come to church and you sit with your mouth closed because you cross with somebody, open your mouth and begin to praise the Lord. Worship the Lord, because if you don't, He'll raise up the stones to do it. You cannot be in the house of God and not take ownership and establish without you taking on the character and the nature of the greatness of God. You become like God. You look like God. You fall, but you get up. You rely on Him. You don't look the same. You don't behave the same. You don't come to church. You come to church one way, but after a while we see there's the glory of God shining, hallelujah, bright like a diamond. And then others around you in the workplace, in the marketplace, they see the goodness of God, but they see the greatness of your God, and they say, how come? How come? How come? How come? It's only God. Do you have to go around making yourself a big Popeye? We call that Popeye, an olive. By going and proclaiming all the time, all over. Sometimes in your silence, your spirit speaks. But if you're not dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, it can't speak. And so we make a lot of noise, and there's no longer a sound in the house of God. If we don't recognize God's goodness, we'll never see His greatness. His goodness is what He does for us. His greatness is who He is to us. When we see with clarity, everything changes, because we don't focus on what He is doing for us, but who He is, hallelujah, because who we are is whose He is, hallelujah. We become, if I know who I am, I know whose I am. When we see with clarity, everything changes. Everything. You hear the chirping of the birds. You hear things differently. You see things differently. We're not described by what we do. We're described by who God is and what how He wants us to function. We don't wait to be tapped on the back to be said thank you. No, why? Because we've made our calling an election sure. And if you make your calling an election sure, an authority comes on you. An establishment comes on you. A grace comes on you to function in that calling. Hallelujah. And then you get more grace and more grace and more grace, hallelujah, so that the confidence of who you are in God becomes the thing that attracts people to the kingdom of God. His greatness, it enables us to be more and more like Jesus. No secrets. Bill Hammond says in one of his teachings pertaining to this era of the church, stop apologizing for something that is not a fact. That is integrity of the scriptures and the prophetic. I'm not going to apologize for something that's not a fact. If God says it, that settles it. That's why God removes people out of our lives. Because some people don't want to hear what God has to say. They want you to stay and be aligned to what they have to say. Stop apologizing for being a carrier of God's goodness, church. Hallelujah, ladies. To those who don't lay on the threshing floor and wait on the Lord. We heard this the whole weekend. You got to lay on the threshing floor and wait on God. Hallelujah. Hey, when any of us throw the pearls of heaven to swine, let's stop it. Come on. Let's stop justifying the pearls of heaven, because we're throwing them to people that don't value it. That's for the church, not outside. I'm going to see you a couple of times. If I see you for another couple of times and I'm still saying the same thing I said the first time, you took the pearl, that direction God gave you, and you decided to give it to the pigs. So if you like to stay in the pigsty, glory cannot be seen in people who want to be liked by everyone. The glory of God is not liked by everyone. That's why it calls it a like spirit. Your spirit is aligned with my spirit. Good or bad? If you've been abused and you're getting abused again and again, but you're serving God, what is the spirit that you need to release? That's why it's called like-mindedness. Hallelujah. Because the spirits connect. We cannot be progressive. The glory cannot be seen by everyone. It's personal. It's progressive. It's revelatory. It steps into the unknown. It has no fear. It's built on faith. It's been in Christ and through Christ. It's not just doing. It's being. It's doing, being, doing, being, doing, being. Travailing is hard work. We all came to this beautiful conference, but the people travailed. They fought demons. They fought big things before coming here. We just come to a clear atmosphere and we receive. And that's why my plea to you today is that please take what you've received here and work it. The book of Acts grew. Why? They travailed. They waited in the upper room. They prayed, hallelujah. And the power of the Holy Ghost came down. As soon as the power came down, immediately, they went into the streets and the church of God was birthed by 3,000. What's wrong with the church of God today, Pastor Tim? Come on, man, immediately act on what he's saying. You can only act if you've been with him. If you haven't been with him, you keep doing and doing and doing and doing and stressing everyone around you with functionality instead of being on the threshing floor. Many churches don't talk about intercession and prayer. Why? They like to do. They like the position. Hey, when you've been with God, you become a nothing. You don't wait for the position because you heard him. If my job is to come to the church 5 o'clock in the morning and just wait on God on behalf of others, I don't need to be seen. Make your calling and election sure. You will never fall. Make your calling an election show and be established in the house of God. Don't be moved by crowds. Don't be moved by culture. Don't be moved by stereotypes. Don't be moved by social media. Don't be moved by the offenses of others. When you called, your offense is not my offense, brother. I have a remedy for you. Go and forgive 7 times 7. Forgive, forgive, and forget. That's why we dwell in the house of God forever. When your pastor, when you die in your coffins here in the front, your pastor mustn't struggle to find a scripture to fit you. He must say, in this coffin, we can even trust for resurrection life. Because this person was resurrected while they were alive. God honors those who travail. You go and read. I want you to do this on your own. If you got an appetite to pray, you got an appetite to see things progress in your life, go and read Daniel 10, 1 to 14. I don't have time to go. That's a blueprint for you to see how God honors those that travail. The interesting thing about travailing and those that travail is that they're not most times worried about themselves. But God then begins to give them the desires of their heart. Sometimes of a little girl that they even forgot. And then the whisper of heaven will say to you, I'm giving you back what you gave me. You forgot you gave him. Why? You're travailing with him. You're walking with him. You're waiting on him. He's just giving you instruction to move. You even forgot how you started. You're worrying about moving from glory to glory to glory. And then that's what we call the desires of your heart are met, because they aligned with the Spirit of God. Right, so Isaiah 60 verse 5. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The H, we're almost there. Are you still with me? This acronym is really blessing my heart. Hope, hope. My grandchild's name is Hope. Hope. And in brackets I got, from hopelessness to hopeful. No more mourning over wasted years. This is a word. If you're still in the space where the locust is devouring and you toil today, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is calling you back to salvation, back to the place of where God wants you to be. Your misery is replaced to the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ pouring out his Spirit upon you. What a shame. We toil sometimes for the things that are short-lived and worthless. Don't pine, God is saying. Don't fret. Don't allow emotional hopelessness to trap you for what you lost. But lift up your head, says the Lord, and take comfort that you will rise from the ashes. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us this weekend, and we can dream again. We can live again. We have purpose again. We have the power of the Holy Ghost again. We can pass on the teachings of our inheritance, our legacy. We can leave a spiritual inheritance where the locusts can't feed for generations to come. So come now and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the fulfillment in your life. Like Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Hopefulness, hope. We can't have that outside of the kingdom. Hope is nothing deferred, but everything is possible. Everything is possible. Do you believe it? Do I believe it? It means my bitterness, my anger, my fragmentation is a process towards my testimony and not the final state of my mind. It means even though I could not, I now can. Because the process towards my destination is just another chapter of my life. Your book has been written this morning. Your book has been written this afternoon. All God is doing is putting another chapter in your book. And as long as you're on this side of the grave, that's what the scripture says, we know in part, there's many more chapters to be written. Will you leave a legacy of half your book full, or will you allow God to complete the chapters, hallelujah, of who you are, your calling, making it sure, leaving the chapters of your life, hallelujah, for those to come. That's why we can pick up Spurgeon's books. We can read his wonderful sermons. They're still relevant today. Why? The chapters of his life are recorded. Are you pulling out some chapters because of pride? Are you pulling out some chapters because of shame? Are you pulling out some chapters because of? Are you pulling out some chapters because of this and because of that? No, leave the chapter. That dark chapter is about to bring the fruitfulness and the glory of our God in your life. It's your testimony. Pain, hallelujah, to purpose. Purpose is your testimony. Someone's life will be changed. Graham Cook says this, "An expectant heart stays hopeful to the promise, and one remains pregnant with the promise until delivery. One's expectation remains constant and leads to anticipation of unfolding of that promise." He gives us steps to unfolding your promise. Number one, pause. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you should be concentrating on at that moment. That's what Anne said this afternoon. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, what should I be concentrating on? Don't go and take someone else's revelation. The church of God is unhealthy because she lives on secondary revelation. She's too lazy to live on the revelation, the primary revelation of God. Pause. Number two, stand in Jesus and nothing else. Because you are joint heir with him. That's why your faith will be sustained. That's why the truth, hallelujah, will set you free. Number three, stay in agreement. Agree with God. Don't look at the circumstance and agree to the circumstance. Don't look to the situation and agree with what you see with your natural eyes. See in the spirit and agree with what the spirit is saying. Number four, confess the word. We heard that. Someone said that on the panel. I think it was Anna. Quote the word. Release the word. Speak the word. Until such times that it leaves you. Just concentrate. Go on it. Go on it. Go on it. Until the Lord says, now it's done. Don't quote CNN and Fox News and all this rubbish. Don't agree with these things. Confess the word. We shape who we are and what's our environment by what we say. And what we agree with, confess the word with a heart of gratitude. Never stop being thankful. Number five, take a step forward. We said that in the panel. How do I go forward? Take a step forward. Don't be scared of the unknown. Just take a step forward. And when you're there, take a next step. He says, go, take the next step forward. Don't take two steps. See, my legs are short. You got big high cars here, and everything's big and So I think somehow I've been stretched a little bit. I'm teasing. Don't fill the, you know, Don't try and fill Jaden's shoes. Or I mustn't fill Cammy's shoes or Angela's shoes. Or you want to try and fill your shoes. Do you know that some parents are even jealous of their own children? That's why we want our children to live out what we didn't get right. Stop it. Oh, you must live your father's shoes. His shoes are big. It's a different size. And even if it's the same size, he may have a broad foot, but your foot's narrow. Don't live in at someone else's shoes. Take a step forward according to what God has for you, not what someone else is telling you to do. You will be indebted to that person for the rest of your life. When man opens the door for you and you become this enormous thing, they remind you. When God does it for you, he gets the glory. And you become a testimony of his glory. And others benefit of it because of it. You see why we're not generous in the house of God? We're selfish and greedy. You know why? Because the minute we get something different and bigger, and we take it for ourselves. So maybe many of us are stuck. Because when God gave it to us, we promised him the earth. And when we got it, we took it for ourselves. Take a step forward under the Spirit. Reclaim what belongs to you in Jesus' name. That's number six. Number seven, take a position in Jesus' name of the promise. I cannot give you your promise. God can give you your promise. I know what's my promise. And if I live out my promise, the provision to my promise will always be, because I will lack nothing. He will never put me to shame because I'm living out my promise. It's a mandate from him. So those principles come from Graham Cook, which was under hope. That's how you live a life of hope. Transformation. Is that the last one? Thank you, Jesus. From bitter to brighter. From bitter to brighter. That's a good hashtag right there. From bitter to brighter. You live in here from bitter to brighter. Transition into all the things that you have prayed for. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The birthing of newness is here. Ladies, do you sense it? It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new decade. It's a new era. It's a new circumstance. It's a new possibility. It's a new whatever you need it to be. It's a new heart. It's a new mind. It's a new... I make all things beautiful in my time. Now's the time. It's new. The time is now. There's no other time. The time is now. We now see the colors, see the birds, see the brightness, see the transforming power of God in your life. Give him glory for transformation. Give him glory for your salvation. Give him glory for the things that kept you mopey and miserable. Give him glory that, Lord, I know you as Lord and Savior. I don't need nothing else outside of that. Thank you for my salvation. When you hurry something, you take responsibility for it. For spiritual growth hormones, you need to start playing those hormones into play so that you can grow. It is a continuous lifestyle. We've been transformed from glory to glory. And all the intentionality of our loving God is given to us. You see, our God is intentional. He does not lie. He doesn't change our minds. It's us who are not intentional in staying in love with him. We commit spiritual adultery so often. Because we don't stay intentional. If I see another nice six-pack coming past, I'm like, Aibo. Aibo is a Zulu word in my country. I got my six-pack at home. Even though it looks like a chest of drawers, it's my six-pack. I have to say to myself, it's like, you know, you hear the men saying, if you're driving your lovely lorry, or your truck, whatever it's called, yeah? Or your van, and you look in the rearview mirror, don't look again. It's intentional. You have an argument and you walk into the office and that nice secretary's there or your manager's there and your husband, you're feeling, No, be intentional. Many of us are not spiritually intentional. That's why the enemy lurks until he settles. He's always lurking, looking for a place to settle. It's a continuous lifestyle. Moving from glory to glory is the supernatural power to transform us, bringing us to God's ultimate purpose and destination. Ladies, we have a destination. Ladies, we have a destination. We just all going to get there at separate times and different times. But the destination, we all have it. Be intentional to stay on the road. Romans 8 verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Give the Lord a round of applause. So I'm going to conclude this conference and then I'll hand over to Angela. I'm not going to pray individually for you. I think we've been prayed for enough. We just shared a powerful acronym of a sermon. It was an impartation. I know the pastor's in the house, won't be happy with that, but it's okay. We're going to all stand and make a declaration of Isaiah chapter 60. You see, if you don't declare it and I declare it, you can say you didn't hear. I can't force you to open your mouth. You're going to declare it so you can live it. That's our closing prayer. So, can you see it there? Now, I've only taken a few verses instructed by the Holy Spirit, not the whole chapter. And we're all going to stand and we're going to read that. And that's going to be our closing prayer and declaration for this conference and this session. And I pray to God that you've been blessed with the blueprint of what he has. So this declaration is from Isaiah 60, 1 to 5, and from 19 to 22. And we're going to read. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of nations will come. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. Are we going? Ooh. Ah. Something happened? Are we on way swiftly? Are we missing something? The sun. Okay. Okay. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the fruit of who he's called you to be fulfilled in your life. In Jesus' name.
Well, how about you make the word of God work for you? See, we try to do that. We can't do things for our children. We want our children to do for themselves. At some point, I don't want to change your diaper. I want you to know how to go to the bathroom. At some point, I want you to know how to feed yourself. And that's what just happened in this moment. Well, be seated for just a minute. I want you to take that with you. I want you to take Isaiah 60. And I, just like Anna said earlier, you need to begin to proclaim it over your life. When it said that there are sons coming to you and daughters you're going to carry, you begin to apply those things to your night, not like it's some flowery language that Isaiah wrote that doesn't apply to me. But God's going to bring it to life for you. Well, just before we go, if you want to bring the lights down, I'm going to have you play that, Craig. And tonight at 6:30, we're going to be there. Let all that God has done, let it marinate on the inside of you this afternoon. There's going to be some moments that you guys are going to have, even with one another. I believe it. Don't take any conversation or anything lightly that God does today. Because what's settled in here is in you and it's on you. And like she said, you're taking that spirit now wherever you go. Amen. Amen. All right, well, listen, we want to give you a quick recap of the last couple of days. And when this is over, you can be dismissed, and we will see you tonight.